Introduction to Stem Cell Treatment. When most of us hear the term stem cells, we often immediately think of growing new kidneys or new limbs from these multipotent cells, and hence diminishing the need for any kind of transplants in the future. When you think about it, that is not a crazy expectation. After all, each cell of the body contains the same DNA as the cells in the blastomere, which develops into all the different cell types. If we could just turn on the DNA appropriately, we should be able to grow another you. We are not there yet. The fertilized egg begins dividing, although not getting any larger, after about 2 days. After it splits up into about 32 cells, which is called the morula, we begin to see differentiation into the ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm germ cells. They are no longer omnipotent, able to grow in any cell type, but they are still multipotent, that is, they are able to grow into many different cell types. Although the DNA is still the same, epigenetic factors now direct the growth into hundreds of different cell types, each with their own function. Still, everybody has the same DNA. We have not given up on growing a new limb, but have discovered many other useful uses for stem cells. The most practical and least controversial stem cells are adult stem cells. We have these within us right now, and no need to go get them from other sources. The bone marrow is an obvious place to find stem cells, as there is a high turnover of various cells in the blood. These are generated by the bone marrow, and you can see how we would need multipotent cells, that is stem cells, to replace all the different cell types. We can also find them in the skin basal cells, another organ with rapid turnover. Perhaps the most promising usage of stem cells in the near future is going to be the mesenchymal stem cells, which maintain the stroma of your body, that being the bone, cartilage, muscle, and fat cells. Actually, we do have approved stem cell therapy right now, and have for many years, in the form of bone marrow transplants. This is stem cell therapy, but requires advanced services and is not practical for routine usage. I have found there is confusion regarding the difference between stem cell treatment and platelet-rich plasma treatment. Although the preparation may seem similar to stem cell treatment, it is not the same. If you recall, platelets are fragments of cytoplasm from megakaryocytes found in the bone marrow and are primarily responsible for forming blood clots. Within the platelets are granules containing numerous different kinds of growth factors and other cytokines. You take blood from a person, centrifuge it a couple times to separate the red blood cells from the plasma, collect these platelets, and enrich some other plasma for reinjection. You usually then add a little thrombin to release the granules in the platelets containing bioactive compounds. Then you inject it into your body part of choice. There are no stem cells involved. There are no good clinical studies showing this treatment is indicated for a particular ailment. No wonder, as each dose is different. Everyone may process this a little differently. Everyone's blood is going to be a little different, and hence the contents of this plasma that has been enriched by platelets is going to be a little different, containing many different concentrations of various bioactive compounds. Nevertheless, everyone and their uncle seems to be offering this treatment for any indication you can imagine. That's not to say that someday we can more reliably quantitate the contents of an injection and perform clinical studies, but really none right now. We do use bone transplants, and within bone there are a few stromal stem cells, but not very many. I would not be surprised if we will use stem cells from somewhere to improve bone transplants, especially in the dental field with the growing popularity of implants. It appears that the use of stem cells in the future is going to revolve around adipose-derived stem cells. Adipose tissue is readily available, and with the development of liposuction, there is a plentiful supply, most of which is thrown away or made into soap. It is no surprise that cosmetic surgeons led the way in the use of adipose augmentation. Initially, adipose tissue itself was transplanted with varying degrees of success, but did demonstrate the safety of autologous transfer. Enhanced success with grafts was noticed if platelet concentrates were added and an interest in growth factors was fostered. As we became more efficient in identifying cell markers using surface antigens, we see that adipose tissue contains a good supply of germ cells in addition to numerous other cell types. Let's take a little closer look at fat. We all know adipose tissue acts as a repository for energy in the body. Fat contains twice the energy as protein or carbohydrates, and thus this is where our energy reserve lies. What many do not remember is that fat is a large endocrine organ and secretes a great variety of regulatory proteins such as leptin, adiponectin, cytokines, adipokines, and chemokines, as well as many types of growth factors. Mature fat cells are terminally differentiated and not capable of cellular division. They reproduce by proliferation and differentiation of progenitor cells, which are capable of development and are attached to the mature fat cells. Around 2001, we were able to demonstrate all kinds of undifferentiated nucleated cells in fat and the multipotent characteristics of these cells to undergo differentiation into mesenchymal tissue. This prompted the idea to use these as mesenchymal stem cells. Meanwhile, we looked at autologous fat grafting a little closer. It ends up successful grafting of fat tissue depends not on the mature cells transplanted, but more on the paracrine cells and undifferentiated cells found within the stromal vascular fraction. The stromal vascular fraction is what is left over from the fat when you remove the mature adipose cells. Back to fat transplants. As the mature fat cells were undergoing degradation following anoxia, important factors are released which stimulate the attached adipose progenitor cells, just like it does when the fat cells undergo natural attrition and replacement. This is the key to success in free fat grafting. It may be the various products that are released from the stem cells are more important than the stem cells themselves. In other words, the stem cell may not turn into a tendon cell, but will induce other tendon cells to reproduce or regenerate. Adipocytes are replaced in a cycle of 5-10% a year, so every 10 years, you have new fat. Let us jump ahead to where we are today. You can get as much fat as you want. You can process this fat so you have gotten rid of the mature fat cells and are left with various other nucleated cells. Using cluster of differentiation, you can identify these cells and expand the population through culture. Now you have identifiable stem cells, although it cost a lot and went through a complicated process. What do you do now? To do this in a practical manner in a search for a treatment, you must use these cells on numerous patients. These are not originally their cells, so the possibility of rejection is the first obstacle. As we noted before, it is probably the chemicals secreted from the cells that are important to success, as well as the other nucleated cells that were present. It is not practical to go through this process for each person. We know the stromal vascular fractions in fat contain stem cells and various other cells. There now exist several devices which can automatically separate fat cells into the stromal vascular fractions in a short period of time. These stromal vascular fractions contain adipose tissue stem cells, which can be considered a type of mesenchymal skin cell. In tissue culture, these adipose stem cells can be differentiated into chondroblasts, adipocytes, osteoblasts, myocytes, and cardiomyocytes. One of the main differences is that adipose tissue contains a much higher number, as in almost 100 to 500 times the amount, than bone marrow. If we want to use stem cell therapy on a wide scale, this is what we're going to have to use. So now what? In platelet-enriched plasma treatment, we are just centrifuging a patient's own blood and reinjecting it. We can perhaps enrich or decrease the number of white cells, but we are really not processing the blood. We can do this without going through the trouble of clinical trials or getting FDA approval. Of course, we end up with what we have now. What we are injecting is all over the map, and each dose is different. Unregulated clinics all over the country do their own thing. There is no constant dose, protocol, or method of administration. The indications boil down to, does this patient have enough cash to pay for it? If we are going to use stem cells, we must treat this as real medication with FDA approval, requiring some type of standardization so a halfway decent clinical trial can be performed to see if it works, what's the dose, and what indication is this treatment effective. In addition, is this treatment safe? Everyone agrees stem cell therapy has great potential. Adipose stem cells are by far the easiest to obtain and have the advantage that they can be harvested from the patient who is going to receive them, bypassing rejection, infection, storage, and degradation problems which may occur. Extracting stem cells and expanding the culture adds many other layers of potential problems, including DNA changes in the stem cells. We now have a good source of stem cells. Adipose stem cells seem to be just like mesenchymal stem cells. We can isolate them from the stromal vascular fraction of adipose tissue. Isolating stem cells is difficult and may induce problems in the product which we do not want. It would be nice if we could just use the stromal vascular fraction. We could get this product at the bedside, process the tissue immediately, and readminister the product within a couple hours. It would be much easier to maintain a consistent product and dosage as well as sterility. Now we might be able to do clinical trials at multiple sites and get some data so we can get FDA approval. Using the stromal vascular fraction is not perfect. This is a biological product, and each preparation is going to be slightly different as each person is slightly different. The advantage of culturing adipose stem cells is that it produces a homogeneous cell population and would eliminate this variability. This may be useful for research in a small number of patients, but simply is not practicable for a general treatment and would be cost prohibitive for a medication. Although someday mass culture produced stem cells may be available for clinical trials, that day is not now. Where are we now? Human adipose-derived stem cells seem to be safe in the treatment of various disease, and we have many years of human and animal experience. Their use has been concentrated in the areas of regenerative medicine and as immunomodulators. In this sense, they are like platelet-rich plasma injections. We need to take the next step to develop commercial applications with clinical trials to verify safety and effectiveness, as well as more specific indications. In addition, we need to determine if the stromal vascular fractions will work just as well as cultured stem cells. It appears that, like platelet-rich plasma, orthopedics is going to be the proving ground for stem cell treatment. We have many patients with acute and chronic musculoskeletal and joint injuries that may be able to benefit from regeneration treatment. I do not mean growing a new leg, but I do think it is quite practical that we can accelerate the healing of injuries, suppress inflammation and pain, and encourage regrowth of certain tissues, and greatly enhance the quality of life of these patients. Let us start with common problems, as we can get plenty of patients for clinical trials. Let us start with a way to simplify and rapidly get access to a stem cell product that can be produced in a local office and administered at the same visit. We can then begin to conducting larger clinical trials on specific indications using a standard treatment and get some data we can really use. Of course, I am talking about local liposuction, rapid processing of the sample to get a purified stromal vascular fraction, and injecting this into the patient using a somewhat standard technique, then conducting the double or triple blind trial in the normal way. Since we are not expanding the stem cells but using the stromal vascular fraction which contains them, this is better described as adipose-derived regenerative cells and would be more accurately called regenerative cell therapy instead of stem cell therapy. The process to obtain adipose-derived regenerative cells is similar in most systems. First, you perform liposuction to obtain the cells. Usually, a closed liposuction kit is supplied, and the process is easily learned even by those with no surgical experience. The sample then has a proprietary enzymatic reagent added and is placed in the processing unit where mixing, centrifugation, washing, and filtering separates the mature fat cells and hematopoietic cells from the stromal vascular fractions. Then the product is applied primarily through injection. The entire process takes about an hour and is a closed system, reducing the possibility of infection or contamination. There are now several systems available for adipose stem cell isolation. To conduct a clinical trial, everyone must use the same system. These trials are conducted by the device manufacturers, as the products of each machine may be consistent but not the same as a different machine. Eventually, this treatment will be approved and available to the orthopedic community. Trials are currently being conducted for various orthopedic conditions. Contact me for more information.